God is so very good to us. And it is a wonderful day to be alive in the kingdom of God. We're going to continue a study tonight that we began on Sunday evening, whatever day it was, whenever it was, we started it. Isaiah chapter 61. We're continuing our trek through Isaiah, through the Old Testament, and we're almost done with the prophet Isaiah, and we're working on this passage that Jesus chose for the inaugural address for his ministry. And he opened the scroll in the house of God in Nazareth, in his hometown, and opened up with this quotation, and he read part of this that was relevant to that day and the coming of the church age, and he caused quite a stir in Nazareth, because they immediately began to say, "Isn't this Joseph's son?" And they were hard pressed to have respect and to be able to receive from someone that they knew. It was difficult for them to believe that God could empower and anoint someone that they were very closely familiar with. If they are like people today, it's easy to believe a stranger that you know nothing about. But familiarity breeds a type or some level of contempt. But I want you to know and understand that when the Spirit of God begins to move upon people, you often get the response from me that God uses donkeys. God does use donkeys. He can speak through a donkey. He can speak through you. So if you are elevated and ego has emerged in your interaction with God, and God's using you and you're beginning to feel like you're a little bit special, remember, God uses donkeys. But if you're feeling so inadequate and so insecure that you don't believe God could ever use you, or you're feeling that way about someone else around you, remember, God uses donkeys. Praise God. They were having a hard time receiving this, and I tell you, within the context here, we're talking about the anointing of God and the transfer of the anointing, opening up the portal and the transfer of anointing. And you've got to understand that God didn't give you that gift just for your benefit. But God had a long-term plan in mind for you. He wants you to be a blessing. You are the seed of Abraham. You are blessed to be a blessing. He said, "I'm going to bless you, and in you all the families of the earth are going to be blessed." Touch your neighbor and tell them, "You are blessed to be a blessing." Tell them God has anointed you so that he can use you to touch your world. Praise God. Praise God. For that to happen, then the good stuff that God has put in you has to find release. If you want to use the analogy, there are millions of them in the Word of God. But if you want to be the alabaster box, you got to be broken so the sweet stuff can flow out. And when it flows out, what does it anoint? The body of Christ. I want you to know God wants you to be a blessing to his people. He wants that good stuff that he's put in you to flow out and to touch the people of God, not to be harbored up and kept and wane and stored up for what? God gave you this to use it up so you can come to the altar and get some more and use it up and come back and get some more. Your prayer room at your house is a filling station. The house of God is a filling station. It takes Holy Ghost to minister and to walk in this world. And God wants you to be a vessel that he can use to pour out on this city, on your family, on your schoolmates. My God, he wants you to be so full of this that when you sit down by them, they're just feeling it. They can just feel it. Praise God. I'm not joking. I believe that happens. Well, we're going to work on this some more tonight, but we'll read this text in Isaiah 61 and beginning in verse 1. And I want you to personalize it. And we're not doing an injustice here because you are an extension of the incarnation of Christ. We are his body. And we are anointed. John said there is an unction upon you. He said the anointing that you received is within you. All right? So say the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Let's go to verse 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified, that he might be glorified, that he might be glorified. Praise God. We've come to this day. We are the people of the living God. We've come to the kingdom for such a time as this because we've got the beauty and they've got the ashes. We've got the joy and they're the ones that are mourning. God's looking for his church to rise up and be a blessing in this city and in this age. God bless you. You can be seated as you do. Lift your voice. Clap your hands. And give God thanks for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. We magnify you, Lord God. We thank you. We worship you. Praise God. Now, on Sunday evening, past, we were talking about the fact that the Spirit of God is likened unto wind and to fire and to oil and to water. All of these, and we won't rehearse all the scriptural references again tonight, but simply say this, that all of those entities are things that flow and that move and that have a capacity to seek out a lowest possible point or to consume things around it. And the Spirit of God is very like that. It's like the oil that ran down upon Aaron's head. It's like fire shut up in your bones. It was wind blowing into the nostrils and mouth of Adam that made him a living spirit. And then again, a cyclonic wind that blew into the upper room on the day of Pentecost. It's like the waters of the vision of the prophet flowing out of the front door of the house of God and filling the city with waters that cannot be passed over. A river of living water. A well springing up into everlasting life. Praise God. And we understand that the Spirit of God can be inhibited by carnality and by sin and by inactivity in spiritual ways. Therein Paul told Timothy, he said, stir up the gift that is within you. You've got to somehow, somewhat like Samson, shake yourself. And that's why worship is so very important. You don't need to be a bump on a pickle. You need to be a worshiper of the Most High God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. And it was the Philistines and those that lived in the neighborhoods where at one time Abram had dug the wells and there was a nice life-giving flow coming up to take care of the promise of God in Abraham's life. But when Isaac came along, those wells had been polluted and stopped up with the rocks and dirt that the enemy had brought in. And so you got to get this and understand this, that the closer you live to this world culturally, I don't mean shoulder to shoulder, I mean in interacting with them for pleasure. If you get out there and begin to live like the Philistines, your wells are going to get stopped up. If you get too close to the Amalekites, your wells are going to get stopped up. Isaac had to redig the wells. You've got to keep the pollution out. You've got to keep the dirt and rocks and detritus of this world out of your wells. We need a flow of the Holy Ghost. We have a lot of needs, but one of them, we need a moving of God. We need the Spirit of God moving in this house, moving in every prayer meeting, moving in every witness. I can't win them intellectually, but God can touch a heart by his Spirit. God needs a willing vessel that'll allow the Holy Ghost to flow out and touch this world. And so we talked a little bit about the portals of prayer and praise and ministry. When you give mercy, you get mercy. And mercy is a spiritual quality that comes only from God. So as you're giving mercy, then something's being released in the Spirit. And as you give forgiveness, then something's being released in the Spirit. And so as we minister, we receive, and there is a flow. So we know that the spiritual dynamic has been opened up. We understand that you can open it through prayer and through praise and through ministry. And by the word of God, it was the word of God and the priesthood that walked across Jordan at flood tide. And the water spread and piled up on one side. And they made their way into promise. And these are allegorical of your making your way into the spiritual promises and the domain of the Spirit. And God will at times open up the spiritual dynamic, and we need that to happen. I can't do this. It's not by might, nor is it by power, but it is by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Everybody say, not by might, nor by power. Turn to your neighbor and say, you can't do this on your own. My God, tell them we got to have a moving of the Spirit of God. Whatever it takes, we've got to have a moving of the Spirit of God. You can't do this carnally. You can't do this intellectually. You can't do this using the commodities of the world or of the natural. You can be talented, but that won't win a soul. You can be really, really a genius, but that won't win a soul. You can be bright in your area of expertise, but that won't win a soul. We need a moving of the Spirit of God. We could be sharecroppers and farmers tonight and have great revival if we're having a moving of God. You gotta get this. I want you to be educated. I want you to be achievers. I want you to get all you can and be powerful and excellent in every area of your life. But whatever you choose to do, whatever your vocation, wherever you find your hands working in this world, know this, that the things of God are spiritual. Spirit is primary. And if you're going to have a revival, you've got to tap into the primary. You've got to tap into the Spirit. Prayer. And praise and ministry and word. And it opens up the portals. Praise God. We talked Sunday evening about the first of these five laws. And this is not hard and fast. This is just something. These are observations that I've made in the Word of God. We talked about atmospheric transfer. How that you can create an atmosphere that is full of capacity to transfer the things of the Spirit. And as an example, maybe we touch David at the house of Saul when he's visited by an evil spirit sent from God. In 1 Samuel 16, three times an evil spirit from God came to Saul. And the servant said, you need to find somebody that can play and sing skillfully, and that evil spirit will have to leave. And when David came and began to fill that room up with praise, the evil spirit had to leave. Well, praise God. That's called spiritual ambiance or atmosphere. And you fill the house with that kind of spiritual atmosphere, and demonic spirits say, I'll wait outside. They have to take a walk. Well, praise God. I don't know about you, but I want the kind of worship service that takes... that causes the devil to remember he had business elsewhere, that he had an appointment somewhere else. And then at Naoth at Ramah, in the school of the prophets, 150 soldiers from Saul in three different groups come down at times to arrest David. And in that atmosphere where Samuel is prophesying and the school of prophets are working with him, and these young men are learning how to be fluid in the Spirit and hear from God and speak in the Spirit. It's very, very much like what you do when you're praying in the Spirit. It's an Old Testament corollary to this New Testament experience of the Holy Ghost. Those prophets were filled up with the Spirit of God. John the Baptist had the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Old Testament prophet. He didn't have it like you got it. John 7 says, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. But those Old Testament prophets are standing there, those young men that are working with Samuel, and David's there among them, and David is a prophet. And as they create that atmosphere, those messengers of Saul fall out, all of them begin to prophesy. They didn't do that with the strength of their arm. They didn't do that with political power. They didn't accomplish it by intimidating them with numbers. It was not a manifestation of flesh, but it was the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Paul said, I didn't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom, but I've come to you in the demonstration and in the power of the Spirit of God. My God, Azusa Street was a demonstration of God, and every major revival since then has been a demonstration of the Spirit of God. And I believe Birmingham can have revival. I said, I believe Birmingham can have revival. But it won't come with talented musicians, and it won't come with wonderful choirs, and we love all that, and we want to have that, and we're working on that, and we want to be excellent in everything we do, but we won't be anything other than another charismatic group. We won't be anything else if we don't have a moving of the Spirit of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Listen to me, a moving of the Spirit of God will do more for your household and your family and the conflicts in your relationships and the trouble on the job and every other natural circumstance or pressure in your life than almost anything you can do. Revival is the answer to almost everything. I said revival is the answer to almost everything. Praise God. We don't need more money. We need a moving of the Spirit of God. Well, praise the Lord. I hope you understand me. Praise God. Somebody's travailing already. Calling on God. Praise God. All right, so we're going to move on then tonight and go into a little bit of different areas of discussion. These are laws of transfer. And I want to talk to you tonight about the law of inadvertent contact. Everybody say the law of inadvertent contact. Praise God. That means somebody touched you. They didn't really mean to touch you.
But when they touched you, they got something they weren't counting on.
Saul's messengers didn't know what they were about to get. And when Saul came to Naoth, he didn't know what he was about to get, but he laid on the ground all night long and prophesied. Now, he didn't live for God when he left there. That's not your job to ensure that they live for God, but it's your job to give them the opportunity. It's your job to create the atmosphere. It's the job of the church to have a place so hot the devil can't come in, and a place so full of the presence of God that people just walk in off the street and get the Holy Ghost. That's the job of the church. Praise God. So in 2 Kings chapter 13 down around verse 20, 21, and verse 20, Elisha died and they buried him, and the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. Verse 21, and it came to pass as they were burying a man that, behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man, the dead guy they were carrying, they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha. They didn't know, I guess, what they were doing with him. They just looked for a hole to put the body in so they could go. You can't run fast with a dead guy on your shoulder. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. And then they really ran. Do you understand this little vignette? This little story? Those bones had something in them. Those bones had absorbed something. And it's something from God. Because you can throw people in a hole. They throw people in holes every day and they don't get up. There's no earth in any graveyard I ever heard of that had the power to raise somebody from the dead. But when he touched the bones of that old prophet, now you just thought that the prophet was being poetic when he said, it's like fire shut up in my bones. But he wasn't just being poetic. He was telling you, this thing is down in my very bones. Did you read where Paul and the apostles prayed over cloths and handkerchiefs? And they sent them out to those that weren't able to be at the meeting. And they were healed when those... What happened to that? What was that? That cloth absorbed something of power. Now, I'm not going to talk about how that happens because we don't even understand how that happens. Most of us don't understand how the power gets from the power plant down the lines down to the switch there on the wall and makes that light. We just use it. You don't have to understand this. You just use it. You just pray for the handkerchief and send it to the guy. We prayed at a street meeting for a handkerchief in Manila one day. They sent it home to a lady that had leukemia. When we got back to the States, her sister wrote to the missionary and said, my sister has been recovered from leukemia. And where she was on her deathbed, now she's standing on her feet in the house of God. It's not only in the Bible, but it's real in the real-time world that we're living in right now. Praise God. You got the same Holy Ghost Elijah had. You got the same Holy Ghost that Elijah had. I'm telling you, when you're full of the Holy Ghost, it is all in you and through you. Well, praise God. And when you touch somebody, something flows. Now, you've been doing this a long time, so you're not all that, you know, you're accustomed to the flowing of the Holy Ghost. Matter of fact, we can come in here sometimes and it's wild pandemonium and you're like, it's just church. Because you're used to it. And you do the work of prayer and you do the work of praise and you do the work of preaching with the preacher. But it's not because it's like the first time you walked in the door. But when you touch somebody, when you walk up and say, hi, friend, there's something that flows out of your vessel. There's something that moves, and it doesn't matter if they know it's happening or not. Praise God. That's why it's so very important. If you're the first person, if you're here for the first time tonight and people walk up to you and shake your hand and they lay their hands on you and you've never been here before, maybe you're not Pentecostal, maybe you've never received the Holy Ghost, they're touching you, they're being friendly, they're being kind to you, but we've got an agenda in mind too, because we got something down inside of us that is more contagious than the flu. We're the carrier for something that's got greater potency than AIDS. And it's all in the positive. I mean, it's all in the... This thing will get on you and you can be a... you can. It's like a communicable disease. It'll get all over you. My God, how did you come in? How did you come in? Somebody talked to you on the job, or somebody ran into you at school, or somebody opened up a Bible study in your house. Well, praise God. I'm telling you, Mariah, you can get so filled up with this. When you sit down in that classroom next fall, they're not going to be impressed that you're the top 2% academically in the nation. We're impressed with that, but they're not going to be impressed with that. But they are going to be impressed when that Holy Ghost starts invisibly invading that classroom, starts moving around. Somebody's going to just start feeling something. I need to live for God. Where did that come from? It's coming from a little apostolic holy roller that's filled up with the Holy Ghost in that classroom. You can radiate Holy Ghost on your job. You can radiate Holy Ghost in an unsaved family. You can radiate Holy Ghost at Walmart. My God, anywhere you go, you're a carrier of the kingdom of God. Well, praise God. And people, that dead guy didn't know. People don't have to know. That dead guy didn't know he was about to fall in there on the bones of the prophet. The people that were carrying him didn't know that he was about to fall in on the bones of a prophet. But he landed square in the middle of the anointing. And it didn't take foreknowledge and it didn't take understanding. All it took was for someone to have been prayed up and filled up and anointed. And just that one quality created a construct where that guy got raised from the dead. There are people we see in this city every day, we touch every day in this city, that are walking dead men and walking dead women. And they need to be raised to life. And you've got down inside you what it takes to raise them up. And they don't even have to know. But you can't just walk in that place of business and do business like anybody else. You can't just walk in that store and do business. You can't just walk in that bank and do business like anybody else. When you walk in the door of that place, you need to go with heaven's agenda in your mind, because you're not normal. You're not like anybody else. You've got something they need. You think you're going there for a jug of milk or to do a business transaction, but your steps are ordered of the Lord, and somebody's destiny is in your hand. You need to wake up. You need to get it in. The Old Testament writer said, make it like a frontlet between your eyes, this word of God business. Can I tell you, the kingdom of God needs to be like a frontlet between your eyes. Needs to be always top shelf on your mind. I'm walking in the bank. I'm walking in Walmart. I'm walking in a tire store. I'm going in on my job. Today, I go into this place in Jesus' name. I'm looking. God, I know you got them here. So, do you believe somebody in this city's hungry right now that would live for God if they only could find the truth? My God, aren't you glad somebody came to you? Aren't you glad the truth came to you? Have a human contact. Have a personal contact. Don't just go and conduct business and walk out and keep your world on your mind and all the things that are troubling you on your mind. And here you are distracted. They're dying for thirst, and you've got a fountain of living water in you. They're dying of hunger, and you know where the bread of life is. They're walking in darkness, and you know where the light is. My God, you've got the answer to everything they need. Make a personal contact. Starts with a smile. Turn around and give your neighbor a great big glowing smile, so big that if they saw you, they'd want what you have. If you come in with a cloud over your head, look like you just walked up out of hell, they don't want anything you have. I know you got problems, but the devil's job, he can't stop the church. He cannot stop the kingdom of God. He can't turn around the blessings of God in your life. So what he wants to do is he wants to distract you and to obviate all that God has promised by the clutter that he sets up in your life between you and your objective. Well, praise God. Well, praise God. So, Brother Ronnie, we're going to come on the job, and we're going to talk to you about things of God. Man, I know what you need. You need the Holy Ghost. I know what you need. You need a home Bible study. I know what you need. Come on, where's the church? No, can I get a witness? Where is the church? Gone asleep in success, gone to sleep in financial blessing, gone to sleep in the American malaise, the American spiritual malaise, rocking the baby of the church to sleep when God wants to have a revival. So what do? We pray through every day before we go out amongst them. We pray through before we touch them. We make sure, full up with the Holy Ghost. Pray till you feel your meter top out. Ding, 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 ding. Now, I'm alive and I'm deadly in the Holy Ghost. I'm full and running over. Come on. Come on. My God, they're hungry for it. Do you believe somebody out there would live for God if they had a witness? Where's the church? Where is the church? Where's the church of the living God? We're making money. We're going to school. We're playing golf. We're playing whatever's on those things now. I don't even bother to try to play with y'all anymore. Because I don't know. They left me back at Galaga. We're space invaders. They lost me when they brought Mario and all that in. So that's who you're dealing with here. What are you doing? Where is the church? Where is the church? They'd live for God if somebody full of the Holy Ghost. And they don't even have to know you're coming. All it takes is inadvertent contact. All it takes is a little bump. And they're going to start feeling something. Didn't you feel something when they started witnessing to you? Didn't you feel something when they began to open up the Word of God to you? Did you feel something when they touched your life? My God, I'd raised Southern Baptist. I didn't know anything about the Holy Ghost. But when I started getting in touch with those apostolics, something began to move in my life. It's been the best thing that ever happened to me. I thank God that there's a transfer of the anointing of God. Praise God. Praise God. What you have is contagious. And what you have, they are hungry for. Praise God. Praise God. And I believe that it is so powerful that we could bury you tomorrow and some wino could come along and sit down on your grave singing about his troubles and weeping a sad, sad story. And feel the anointing of God. I'm just telling you. Well, that's what happened in the Bible, right? You do believe the Bible. My God, is anybody here believe in miracles? You believe in a moving of the Spirit? Do you really believe that God can do things that are above and beyond and exceeding all the things that you've ever imagined or thought of? Why can't we? Can we have that kind of revival? Could we have that kind of move of God? Or do you just want to keep doing the same old, hoping somebody comes in and lives for God? Praise God. Let me move along, and we'll stop here directly. Praise God. There's another type of transfer. It happens when people are in pursuit of faith. It happens when people are approaching God by faith. There is an anointing that is transferred. In that upper room on the day of Pentecost, they didn't know what the Holy Ghost was. In the first chapter of Acts, they're still asking him, "Will you now restore the kingdom unto Israel?" They still thought he was going to set up the Messianic kingdom, overthrow the Romans, and establish a kingdom in Israel. And they still thought at this point after the resurrection that he was going to do that. And so they're asking him in Acts chapter 1, "Will you now restore the kingdom unto Israel?" And he said, "You go back to Jerusalem." He didn't even bother trying to explain it. "Go back to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. You're going to be filled with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. You're going to receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you're going to be witnesses to me beginning at Jerusalem." Now they go there, and they go there by faith. Everybody say by faith. They didn't know exactly what it was going to be like because they had never really had it before. But they went there by faith. Everybody say by faith. They went there because Jesus told them they could have it, that it was coming. They didn't know what it would be like or what they would receive, but they went there by faith. And on the seventh day, they had some patience because it took 7 days for this to occur. They waited 7 days. We did the math. We understand. They're in that room for 7 days. They're praying and they're worshiping and they're seeking the face of God. And I'm not quite sure. I know they took a break and had a political exercise. They elected another replacement for Judas. So they were doing human type stuff at the same time. I'm glad they got the Holy Ghost. It could have really gone downhill quick. But on the day of Pentecost, there came a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind. Now, this had never happened before, and it fills the house, and it fills everybody in the house, and they receive the Holy Ghost, and tongues of fire sit upon each of their heads. And they all begin to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. This happened to them vis-a-vis the outpouring of the Spirit of God and the promise of the Word of God. And because they were at ground zero by faith. They didn't get it because of their strength. They didn't get it because they understood it. They didn't get it. Now, that's very important here. They didn't get it because they had experienced it before and they were experienced in that area. They got it because God had promised it and they were dumb enough to wait on God. They got it because they were pursuing God. They could have been anywhere else, but they stayed at that place at ground zero waiting for whatever it was that God was going to. Let me tell you something. There's never been an apostolic church in Birmingham, Alabama that ran 1,000 people. There's never been one. So you're not experienced in that. But that doesn't mean God can't do it by the anointing. You never seen one here. The city's never seen one here. But that doesn't mean it can't happen. If God can find somebody that'll wait at ground zero and do what he told him to do. All he told him to do was tarry. All he told him to do, tarry at Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. My God, let's clap our hands and lift up a voice. If God can find people that'll believe him for the miraculous, for the impossible, he'll pour it out. He'll pour it out. In a city, in a metro area of a million, I'll just tell you, there are more than 10 unborn apostolic churches of 1,000. I'm telling you, right here tonight, in this city, in this metro, there are more than 10 unborn apostolic churches of 1,000. Let me say it once more. Right now, in this city, this city, now see some of you, I've been here all my life, preacher. I never saw anything like that. It don't happen that. It happens in California, you know, the land of fruits and nuts. It happens in Florida down there. They got all those transplants. But this is the Bible Belt. And, you know, well, let me tell you something. It's not by might, nor is it by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. And there's a transfer of anointing when somebody will get down in faith and say, God, here we are. You know what we're going to do? We're going to be here. We're going to open this house. We're going to touch everybody we see. We're going to teach Bible studies. We're going to worship like banshees. We're going to pray, oh God, till we run out of gas. And then we're going to pray some more. And we're going to wait on you because we know you got an unborn church here. We know you're going to bring it to pass. I've never seen it before. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I just believe God's going to do it. Now, it's a little bit easier for those of you that were with us in the storefront. Because we were carrying on like this when we were 12. And we were saying, God's going to build a church in this city. Woo! And all 12 of us would shout. And we felt like when we shouted, it shook the city. I still feel like that. I still feel like that. You know, God can take three old, crusty, emaciated lepers, and when they walk down a dusty road, he can make them sound like they've hired the armies of Egypt. God can multiply your effort. God can amplify your desires and your efforts. My God, he's just looking for some. This is not turning out like I thought it was going to turn out tonight. God's just talking to it. You don't have to stay like you are. It doesn't have to be like it is right now. It doesn't have to be as small as your expectation. But we're going to have to get up out of our daily humdrum routine. We're going to have to get up out of this. Well, I work hard and I'm out of gas and I just do good to be saved, preacher. Well, I'm glad, and I don't wish you any ill, but we're not going to get there like that. But listen to me. If we'll just touch the people, you know, I love door knocking and outreach and all that, but most people are one to God through everyday contact in everyday circles of activity. Knocking doors and street meetings are very low percentage activities. I tell you that from years of experience. But most people come to God through somebody they touch at work. Right. I feel something. Somebody in a classroom. Somebody at school. Somebody in the neighborhood. My God, I tell you, it'd blow your mind what would happen if you just begin walking in your neighborhood, just talking in tongues, and just say, God, give me this neighborhood. And just start talking in tongues. You say, well, what does that do? Well, I can't tell you exactly, but Paul thought enough about it. He said, I talk in tongues more than all of you.
You might think Paul's an idiot, but he wrote most of the New Testament. And he met God face to face in the wilderness. And God thought enough of him to knock him off his horse and to draft him into the party as an individual. And he said, I'm a tongue-talking fool. I talk in tongues more than all of you. What is that? That means you don't have to understand it. Just do it. Drive through this city talking in tongues. Walk in your neighborhood talking in tongues. Well, I don't know what I'm doing. You don't have to understand it. You go there by faith. You hunker down at ground zero by faith. It radiates. It radiates out through you. And it touches. It leaves a smoke trail behind you. I don't know what it does, but I know it'll shake a city. I know it'll change the nature and course of this city. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. Right now, for the city and for those that you work with or go to school with, I want you to lift up your hands and I want you to just begin to pray in the Spirit with authority. Could you do that right now? Praise God.
Abuela passa tra la lendo a mia mangue de vecchi sandra la mahara.
God didn't give that to you just to announce the arrival of the Holy Ghost. That was just the beginning of something phenomenally powerful in your life. Let's go just a little bit further. Jonathan, give us Luke. Give us Luke chapter 8. Praise God. Praise God. Give us Luke chapter 8 and verse 46. And Reggie's already worked on it tonight. But this little lady had been sick for 12 years and had spent all of her resources trying to find some relief. And she heard about Jesus. And we know there was a crowd there that day because after she touched him, Jesus asked the disciples, "Who touched me?" And their response was, "Everybody's touching you." So he was being jostled by a crowd moving through the streets with him. And so we understand that to get to him, she had to bull her way through a crowd of men and women that were making, and she'd been sick for 12 years, so, and she's hemorrhaging every day of her life. So she's weak as she can be, but she's got this faith that says, this is what the scripture says. She said, "If I can but touch the hem of his garment, he's going to heal me." She said, "I'm going to get something that I could not receive on a natural plane. I'm going to get something from a spiritual dimension, and I'm going to get it by the pursuit of faith. I'm going to drive and press and push my way until I get to where he is, and I won't have to embrace him. All I got to do is just touch him." And as soon as she touched him, he felt virtue. What did he say? "I perceive that virtue, that's power, that's anointing. It flowed out of him." Now, people were touching him all along the street that day, and the same power was resident in him for all of those people. Same condition, same power, but it was the difference was the touch. The difference was the one who was touching him. A lot of folks were touching him out of curiosity or touching him because of his celebrity. But this lady touched him in hunger and by faith, and she instantly received an infusion of God's virtue. And it said the blood dried up instantly, immediately. She got what she needed. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now, I believe he's the same today as he was yesterday and as he will be forever. I believe, do you believe that? I believe that if somebody can push through. Now, tonight, you're not trying to get through a crowd of people. I'll tell you what the Church of the Living God in Birmingham in 2008 is going to have to get through. You're going to have to get through the chewing out the boss gave you today on the job. You're going to have to get through the tension in your relationship with your parents. Because you come to the house of God and you've been fooling around in some areas and daddy came down on you with both feet. And so you came in the house of God with a bad attitude. And so you got to press through that. Because we all, no matter where you came from or what's going on in your life, we've got to all get to where he is and touch him so that the virtue can flow. We're talking about places where there's a transfer of the anointing of God, because it's the anointing that destroys the yoke. I've got to have him moving in my life. I know you got money trouble. Press through it tonight and see if you can't touch God. I know you've got tension and trouble in your family and in your household, but come on, that's the job description tonight. You've got to press through that tonight and get a hold of something in God. I'll tell you tonight, God's spirit and virtue will flow in this house tonight. Tonight. I can't enumerate all the problems that each of these houses, let's stand, that each of these households are having tonight. But I can tell you that God has an answer for every one of them. And that there's a transfer of the spirit and the anointing of God. Praise God. Praise God. So here's the assignment. This is a workshop right now. We won't spend a long time on it. And I know this is just as flat as a pancake right now. And you're not supercharged or anything. But you know what? You are the people of the Most High God. And we're building up the house that was built long ago. And you are the called of God, the elect of God. Yeah, they're going to need some help. All right? I want you tonight, I want you to come down to this altar or find yourself a place to walk or a place to pray. And I want everybody in the house to get yourself filled up. Press through all the trouble. Forget about everybody around you and let God fill your vessel up afresh and anew so that when you walk out of here tonight, you're radiating Holy Ghost. You're radiating the anointing and the blessing of God. Now, as we do this, if you're sick in your body, you can receive healing. Just press through. Press through the worry of the day. Press through the pressure of your natural circumstance. Press through all the lie that the devil told you that you can't be, you can't have, you can't do. Press through that. It's a lie. Come on. Come on. Turn this into a house of prayer tonight. Posture doesn't matter. Where you stand, where you walk, it doesn't matter. Let's press through tonight. Come on. Authority.
And I will say, hallelujah.
Let that heavenly language flow through. Let that river of living water pulse through your vessel.
Hallelujah, hallelujah to your Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah to your Father. Hallelujah to your Lord. And I will say,
hands of prayer.
find somebody to pray for.
Hallelujah.
Find somebody to let that anointing flow. Pray for your brother. Pray for your sister. Pray for them in that Holy Ghost.